Today we're looking at the topic of follow the shepherd. The big idea today is that leaders follow Jesus and point others to Jesus. The text is John chapter 12 verse 26, and we'll be looking at different parts of the Gospels, so have your Bibles open. And I do hope that you do pick up on the verses, that you write them down, you take them home and you think about them. Because it's so easy for us to gloss over these verses in a hurry and lose their impact. We need to meditate upon them. In John 12, 26, it says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Over the past three Sundays, we have been looking at what the Bible says about deacons and elders before we call for nominations for elders and deacons in our church. However, this teaching is not just for the deacons and elders, it's for all who would follow Jesus. These principles apply to leaders in all parts of society, from the teacher to the parent, from the business owner to the Sunday school teacher, or the growth group leader or youth leader, to every individual. Today, being a leader in any organization is not easy, and it's getting harder. Leaders are likely to be criticized for the slightest misstep or misstatement. There are so many expectations, political opinions, and peer pressures which can distract leaders. Indeed, people begin to live in the fear of what others think at the expense of following Jesus. Our growth group is halfway through a study book on the history of the church, and some of you have done the study in the past year. It's interesting to see how some leaders in the church led for good, and others followed paths of power, pride, greed, error, and division. But by God's grace, there's always been leaders in the church who have walked faithfully following Jesus. It's interesting to be reminded of men like Bernard of Clairvaux, who gave us one of the oldest hymns that we still sing today, especially at communion, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." Who knows that song? Just Jeffrey, no. It's a fantastic song. We used to always generally sing it at communion. But that's one of the oldest. There's one other song, apparently. Chris Morrison reminded me, but it's a wonderful song, but it comes from Bernard of Clairvaux. And then there's Thomas A. Kempis, who wrote the famous book, The Imitation of Christ. You can get that today, and you'll be surprised how relevant his meditations are. Then there are men like Thomas Aquinas, Augustine, Martin Luther, Calvin, and many others who were not distracted by the power of reputation and wealth. These and others contributed to the life and the history of the church. They were not perfect, but they were followers of Jesus. So when you look at Google, I've had a look at Google to see what people say about leadership. And a lot of attention is drawn to the personal strengths and leadership skills. A common definition, which is based on this view of the world, is that a leader is a person who other people follow. You'll be told this: a leader is a person who other people follow. And in some respects, that makes sense. You may have heard the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read the question on the application that asked, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote no and returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received a letter from the college. "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it's imperative that they have at least one follower." As we consider nominating deacons and elders, it's a good time to look at what Jesus meant when he said, "Follow me," because leaders in the church are servants who follow Jesus. The New Testament mentions "follow me" 20 times in the Gospels, while there is overlap between the four Gospels, the call to follow me is core to Jesus' teaching. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, a scribe came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." If you're like me, it's easy to rush past verses like this. They are uncomfortable because they call for a radical change in our lifestyle. And if you're like me, a bit older, you realize that you've been reading over these verses for many years and you haven't responded to the call to follow Jesus in that way. I want to look at four times that Jesus said, "Follow me," so that we can better understand him. And the four headings are, they're up there, that's good. You can see them there. Followers hear the voice of Jesus. Followers obey Jesus. Followers deny themselves and embrace the personal cross they are given. And followers are fishers of men. So let's look firstly at followers strain to hear the voice of Jesus. John chapter 10 verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." How do we hear his voice? On Friday night at the skate park, one of the roughest looking skaters, Tim, joined in a discussion that we were having with others about Jesus. And he piped in and he said, "To hear Jesus is a small, quiet voice. He gestured, you have to listen carefully for him." This is quite surprising because if you saw Tim, you'd be horrified. But he did remind us that Jesus speaks to us in a small, quiet voice. We listen for Jesus' voice in his word and in God's providence and the events that happen around us. We also listen to him through our conscience. Followers of Jesus search for God in his word in the Bible. They meditate on the word because, as it says in Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Followers who hear thirst for the voice of Jesus. There are times when God seems silent and we feel like David in Psalm 143, where he said, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." Followers also become very sensitive to other voices. They worry, they are wary of those voices. They are wary of the voice of false teachers because false voices always lead you away from Jesus. Recently, I've been thinking it's a good question to ask when you are confronted with a different thought or a doubt, to ask the question, does this lead to Jesus or does it point to somewhere else? Does it make us look at the storm or away to the Savior? We follow the voice of Jesus because Jesus followed the voice of his Father. In Matthew chapter 4, when tempted, Jesus said three times, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Again, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus followed the word of God, and we too must follow his voice in the word. Secondly, followers obey Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew rose and followed him. Jesus didn't ask Matthew, he told Matthew to follow him. Matthew didn't stop to weigh up the risks. He made an instinctive choice to follow Jesus. He threw caution to the wind because he was drawn to Jesus. He loved Jesus. It was love at first sight. Often we rationalize whether it is wise or prudent to sacrifice this or to give up that. And the longer we do that, the more certain we won't, and the more certain that we will fail to follow. Like Matthew, we should be quick to obey Jesus' call out of obedience, the obedience of love. I think that when we get to heaven, we will look back with regret and see what we missed because we did not trust Jesus to follow him. Instead, we held on to security, comfort, and reputation. Followers of Jesus say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When we do that, we find contentment. Even as we walk through the deepest of trials, the beginning of relief is found when we can say, "Not my will, but thy will." When we surrender to his will, others see God and are drawn to follow him. We learn to obey Jesus because he obeyed the Father. In Luke 22:42, remember Jesus said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Because Jesus obeyed the Father, we can say, "Thy will be done." Thirdly, followers deny themselves and take up their personal cross. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Firstly, followers deny themselves. They put the interests of others before themselves. There's a passage in Isaiah 58:10, which teaches us what it means to deny yourself. And it uses the phrase to pour out yourself. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Isaiah is saying, pour yourself out. Give of yourself till you haven't got any more. Followers also take up the cross that Jesus gives them. Followers embrace the personal cross they are given to carry. It may be a loss, a pain, a weakness, a speech impediment, an injustice or persecution, or somebody else's weakness. When we follow Jesus, he will give us a cross the right size for us to take. How do you look at the cross that God has given you? Do you resent that cross? Do you let it make you bitter? Or do you take up the cross as an opportunity to help you follow him? A unique blessing for you, both now and for eternity. Fourthly, followers become fishers of men. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Fishers are sensitive to any opening or opportunity to talk about Jesus. They look for Jesus' moments when they can engage with people at work or anywhere else. This requires courage and trust in the Holy Spirit to lead the discussion. But fishers don't have to be expert evangelists or skilled debaters. All we are called to do is love people and share the love of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus seen through his followers that draw others to follow him. I asked Tim, the guy at the skate park, what makes it difficult for skaties to follow Jesus, because I was preparing this sermon. And he said, they see through religious talk. He used very strong language I can't repeat. They see through religious talk, but they remember sometimes, much later, that Christians came down and cared for them. We ought to seek out moments or occasions when we can point others to follow Christ. Some other examples include showing mercy instead of sticking to your rights, returning kindness when dealt with unfairly, giving to others in need, deliberately refusing to engage in gossip, stepping out of our comfort zone. Fishers get their feet wet when they reach out for other people. They have to get in the boat to go where the fish are. In John 12:26, our text, I'll repeat it. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Where I am, there will my servant be also. That begs the question, where is Jesus? And am I there? I pondered hard, and I wasn't going to address that phrase, where I am, there my servant will be also, because I didn't know what it meant until I realized and looked at Matthew chapter 25, where it couldn't be more clear. Jesus is where the poor are. whether lost, the hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, the naked, the sick, or in prison. The least of these, he said. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you're a bit like me. I find it a lot easier to stay at home in comfort and safety. But we need to be where Jesus is. It's a no-brainer, really. But we still seem to walk on the other side of the road. Lord, open our hearts to follow you where you are. Help us to see when we walk on the other side of the road. And if you look at Matthew 25, you'll also see there's a very strong warning that if you don't attend to these people, God promises us that we will face eternal punishment. He's serious. And somehow, I think, all too often we ignore his command to follow him and to be where he is. We follow Jesus as a fisher of men because he was a fisher of men. He sought out people. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Here's an example where Jesus reached out to the unreachable. So, as I said at the beginning, and as we have for the last few Sundays, we're looking at the calling of elders and deacons. There's a temptation to nominate a person to office in the church because they are successful in business, or they represent a group, or they're popular, articulate, appealing, or have a strong personality. They can be any one of these things and more, but they need to be servant followers who draw you not to themselves, but to follow Jesus. They draw you not to themselves, but to follow Jesus. But to all of us, when Jesus said, "Follow me," he was not just talking to leaders in the church, but to everybody. We should all be servant followers. In the week ahead, ask yourself some questions like this: am I thirsting for the voice of Jesus? Am I denying myself or promoting myself? Can I say, "Not my will, but thy will be done"? Am I taking up the cross or just looking at my cross? Am I reaching out to those in need? So the natural question that flows from here is, why do we not follow Jesus? Or rather, why do we follow Jesus? On the front of your bulletin, you've got the narrative about the rich young ruler, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As he was setting out, Jesus on his journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That's why we don't follow Jesus. So why should we follow Jesus? We're all followers of something that we live for, that we get up for in the morning. The issue is, what do you follow, and where does that lead to, and how long will its promise last? John 12:26 again, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Tonight, Jared will be speaking at the Hallsville Library at 7 p.m. and preaching from 1 John chapter 2 about what passes away and what lasts forever. I encourage you to come along and listen, because that's part of the answer of why we follow Jesus. Because if we follow him, if we love him, what we do and achieve will last forever and will not pass away. So I hope you've been encouraged to think a bit more about what it means to follow Jesus. I hope you've been challenged as I've been challenged, personally challenged. And I hope it'll help us understand more clearly what kind of characters we look for in calling elders and deacons in our church. That God will give us followers of Jesus who will teach us to follow him. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you came down, Almighty Creator God, as the Lord Jesus born of man, and that you taught us so often to follow you. Father, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds in the week ahead to meditate upon your call to follow you, that we would follow you, and that in following you we would find joy and we would lead others to follow you also. Lord, we pray for the calling of elders or nominating elders and deacons that we're working towards. Lord, we do pray that you'll rest upon each of our hearts a sensitivity to men who will follow you. And we pray, Lord, for the elders and the deacons that we have now, the pastors that we have now. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them, that you'll protect them, that they'll always be followers of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.